2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. This sermon was basically complete by Thursday noon. Even at that point, I did not realize how relevant this subject would be in relationship to all that our world is going through around us. So today, in these verses of Scripture, we consider this topic, staying focused. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you are and all you have provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We go through some good times, we go through some difficult times. For the world around us right now, Lord, this is a difficult time. We find ourselves in the midst of circumstances that may make us uncomfortable. But I pray that you will give us something from your word today that will help us to relax in your spirit and keep our focus where it ought to be. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a physical world, a world where we have things we can touch and smell and taste and hear and see. And we never consume it all or are satisfied with the things of our physical senses. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." You never come to a place where you say, "I've seen enough, I'm going to close my eyes and never look again." But God tells us in our passage of Scripture today that we must be cautious about putting too much focus on the physical world. There are actually things that cannot be seen in this physical world that are more important than what we can touch or smell or taste or hear or see. Now, this whole chapter goes together. In the first verse of the chapter, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And if you recall, I indicated that that suggests we do not give up. When you go down to verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not." All of this is one subject, the entire chapter, about not giving up in spite of what is going on around us. And so we come to the conclusion of this matter, of why we should not give up and how we can keep on going in spite of things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 15, he begins, "For all things," what all things? The things he's just been talking about. In verse 8, the trouble that is being under pressure, the perplexity that is being without the necessary resources. Some of you are going to the grocery store and finding that to be very, very true, aren't you? In verse 9, the persecution, being chased by our enemies, and in that verse, being cast down, restricted from activity. All of this together, summed up in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In spite of all of that, Paul said in verse 13 that he continues to speak because he believes. "I believe," he says, "and therefore speak." In spite of the trouble and the perplexity and the persecution and the cast down, I keep speaking. I don't give up. Knowing, he says in verse 14, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. We have the promise of the resurrection. All of these things, he says, all of these things in verse 15 are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. All of this, he says, is experienced in our physical world so that the abundance of grace, which makes it possible for us to be troubled on every side but not distressed, that the abundance of grace that makes it possible for us to be perplexed but not in despair, the abundance of grace that makes it possible for us to be persecuted but not forsaken, the abundance of grace that makes it possible for us to be cast down but not destroyed, and the abundance of grace that makes it possible for us to bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that all of this would work together so that folks like us would give thanks to God and glorify him for what is accomplished in people like Paul. In other words, when we hear of something amazing that takes place, for example, in the life of a missionary, we would say, God did this. So praise the Lord. In 1955, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Pete Fleming, and Roger Udarian started making contact with a tribe of the Alca Indians in the rainforest of Ecuador. Perhaps you've heard about this. For 13 weeks, they dropped gifts to the tribal people in a bucket at the end of a rope as they flew around in an airplane. On January 3, 1956, they landed their airplane on a sandbar along the Curare River in Ecuador. After 3 days, as they sat there for 3 days waiting, suddenly a group of the Wayadani people, part of the Alca Indians, appeared on the bank of the river. Jim Elliot walked towards them with his hand open, and they came, sat down with these five men. They gave them some food. They tried some minimal communication. They drank lemonade. Listen to these tribal people jabber in their language. Their visitors left, and the five friends could barely contain their excitement. This was exactly what they were hoping for: contact with this tribe of people that had never been reached. 2 days later, Nate Saint made his final call to his wife, Marjorie. He said, "Pray for us. This is the day." At 12 minutes past 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on Sunday, January 8, 1956, Nate Saint's wristwatch was suddenly smashed against a stone, and the hands stopped moving. That is the moment when all five men were brutally murdered by this tribal group. The tribesmen who had killed these five men hunkered down in the rainforest, because in their culture, when you do something like this, the thing you expect is retaliation. But it never came. Instead, Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of Jim, and Rachel, the sister of Nate Saint, made contact again with this tribe and were allowed to begin to speak with the people. Instead of retaliating, they showed them the love of Christ. And eventually, the very men who killed those five missionaries all received Christ as their Savior. And something even more remarkable, I think, a man in the tribe by the name of Micaiah was the man who baptized Nate Saint's son, Steve. Micaiah is the one who killed his father. Yet he was born again, and Nate Saint requested that this man who had killed his father baptize him in the river where his father had died. We say, how could something like this possibly happen? And we say, God did it. And we praise God for it. We also might ask this question, how could five men think so little of their personal survival as to put themselves in such a dangerous situation? Let me lead you through some thoughts before I give a direct answer to that. One of the most predominant issues of our day is health care, is it not? Especially with this virus going around. But it has been for quite some time. The health of our physical bodies is one of the things that is driving our whole culture today. Presidential candidates constantly talk about health care as a human right, and the best health care of our country should be available as being free to everyone. Another part of this whole thing is diet as a major issue of our day. The government at times has mandated the kind of healthy foods that should be served to children in school. In New York, the city government banned the sale of sugary drinks larger than 16 ounces as a measure to help people be more healthy. There are so many weight loss programs that are available and exercise programs, and so much focus on the care and health of our physical bodies. And you can understand this for unsaved people who only have their body to live and move in. But we, Christians, who have living spirits, a born-again spirit inside of our physical body, have more than this physical world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," our outward man, our body, our physical body, every day of our lives is moving towards death. It's just the way it is. We all are going to die someday. I know as a young person, you don't want to think about that. You think you're going to live forever. I thought that when I was a young person. I never imagined I would get as old as I am. I thought the Lord would come before now, and we'd just go up, and I never faced the prospect of dying. But the older you get, the more you come face to face with the concept of mortality. But really, from the very day that you're born, you're moving towards one thing, and that is death. And that's what it's saying here. The word perish here is in a present passive tense. It says, in essence, though our outward man is being perished. That is, because of the curse of sin, that Adam and Eve brought upon the world, our bodies are programmed in such a way that eventually they're going to die, and we all are moving in that direction. And there's nothing that we can do about it. No matter how much we pursue physical health, every day of our lives we are racing towards physical death. But notice what else the verse says. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, this is something we have that those who are not in Christ do not have. Oh, sure, they have a soul, but the soul is connected to the body and the physical world. It is the spirit that is connected to God and makes a person really alive in Jesus Christ. When we are born again, it is our spirit that comes alive in him. And that's the inward man that's being talked about here. And it's saying that even though our physical bodies are constantly moving every day towards the thing called death, our spirit is in a constant state of growth. It is in our spirit that we drink the milk of the word. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. It is in our spirits that we feast upon the meat of the word. And in Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 through 14, it contrasts the difference between milk as given to small children and meat as consumed by those who are mature, relating the meat of the word to the meat of the physical world to the meat of the word, which is consumed by our spirit and makes us strong as mature believers. And by consuming in our spirit, in our inward man, the word of God, milk and meat together, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 tells us, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The health of our inward man gives us then strength to endure whatever hardship may come in our outward man. It is the strength and health of our inward man that makes it possible for us to endure even death in our outward man. So he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not. We don't give up. Even though our outward man, he says, is in a constant race towards death, we don't give up because our inward man is constantly growing and being renewed every day of our lives. In other words, knowing, even when we are troubled on every side, perplexed and persecuted and cast down, even when we're under pressure without the necessary resources for our physical well-being, being chased by our enemies or restricted in our activities, which some of us are these days because of what is being mandated, some of our young people can't go to school, some people aren't able to go to work, some churches aren't able to meet. We're being restricted in our activities. Knowing that it is not the experience of our physical body that determines our real health. Knowing that it is not the conditions of our physical world that determines our real health. And that all of our hardships in this physical world are for the sake of Christ. We faint not. We don't give up. And we can bring glory to God in the midst of all of it. And that is why five young men whose lives on this earth were very short could put themselves in a dangerous situation in the physical world. They were alive in their spirit. And I assure you that at this very moment, those five men are very much alive in heaven and doing quite well. And they would tell you it was worth it all, because the result ultimately was the salvation of hundreds of people. And the temporary things of our experience here on this earth can ultimately have some eternal value. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Our light affliction. What we endure in this world. And those five men would tell you that what they endured was a light affliction. It might seem heavy to us, but for them, it was just a light thing. Let's say, men, your wife comes home from the grocery store and she asks you to help bring things in from the car. You go to the car, the trunk is open, and you look in, and there are two items in there. One is a loaf of bread, and the other is a 100-pound bag of dog food. Which one are you going to pick up and carry into the house? I suggest that carrying the 100-pound bag of dog food might seem like a light affliction compared to what you might experience by bringing in only the loaf of bread. And sometimes the things of our experience in this physical world seem like a heavy thing. And yet it's but a light affliction, because it only lasts for a moment. But notice it says in verse 17 that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If we must endure some hardship in this life for the sake of Christ, sure, it will seem heavy for a moment, but compared to the glory it will bring to God as a result, it will be but a light affliction. The winning of hundreds of souls for Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and Ed McCulley and Pete Fleming and Roger Deuderian was worth the affliction of suffering physical death. They live in heaven today, rejoicing because the little bit they suffered here on this earth ultimately brought glory to God. And so he says in verse 18 of our text, "While we look not at the things which are seen." There are lots of things that we can see in this physical world. We call them temporal here in the verse. "For the things which are seen are temporal." The word temporal simply means temporary. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 says, and the world passes away. And it does. We might enjoy going sometimes sightseeing and seeing ruins of old buildings. I like to look at pictures of castles. I'm fascinated with the medieval world. And I like to look at pictures of castles. And some castles are still standing strong, but some castles, where there were castles, there are barely a few stones on top of each other. And you try to imagine what it was. Maybe just an arch, or maybe just a wall with a corner on it, and you try to imagine what was that like. Well, that was a real thing at one time. It was a real castle, and people lived in it, and it was, and it's gone. How many of you have been driving the same car for 75 years, 50 years? 40 years. They don't last. Things in this world are temporary. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 7 says, the grass withereth and flower fadeth. We've had some beautiful flowers last year, but they're all gone. We look forward to the new ones coming this year, but they'll only last a short time. James chapter 1 and verse 11 says, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of fashion of it perishes. And so it is with all of the things of this world, including our physical bodies, where James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. The things that we see in this physical world are temporary, but there are things which are not seen that are eternal, as the verse tells us. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are very real, but they are in the realm of the spirit. The things of the inward man. The things of the Holy Spirit. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. What is one of those things that we have in the inward man? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's in the earthen vessel. It's not the earthen vessel. The treasure is inside of it. And what is inside of it? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And he grants to us love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. We have the grace of God. We have the hope of eternal life. We have all of the promises of God in eternity future. You don't see these things with a physical eye, but they are very real and they are part of the inward man. And so he says we need to keep our focus. While we look, he says in verse 18, while we look, we have a choice of what we're going to look upon. Do we look upon the things of this world that we can see, or do we look upon the things of the inward man, of the spirit, that are eternal? When you look at the things that are seen and focus on this physical world, you might say something like this: I could never be a missionary and go to Africa and live out in the bush where the people live in mud huts and sleep on dirt floors. Oh, think of all the creepy crawly things that are running around. You might say, I could never help in the nursery and wipe the runny noses of those little children. Whether it's big or it's small, does your view of things stop at the physical conditions of this world? Or can you see beyond the surface and see the souls of people in need? When Jesus Christ faced the prospect of going to the cross, he faced the temptation of giving up. Remember we talked about this? In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, he said to the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Again, we cannot imagine the intensity of the moment. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so when he went to the cross, he stayed focused. He wasn't focused on his suffering. He was focused on what he was there to accomplish. And so in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He said, I won't allow the physical suffering of this whole thing become the focus of my being here. I will focus on the spiritual result. And we enjoy salvation because of it. And so he instructs us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. After saying in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, he tells us in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, for consider him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider what Jesus went through for us in this physical world. But in spite of the intensity of his suffering, he stayed focused on the eternal. In every circumstance we face in this physical world, we must look beyond what is visible to the eye and see what is only visible to the heart. To see what is only visible to the spirit. We must see the joy that is set before us. We must see the exceeding and eternal weight of glory that awaits us in heaven. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that after Jesus successfully endured the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 2? Verses 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what that's promising us? Just as Jesus sat down in the glory of heaven, there is a seat with him waiting for us. And so we, in the midst of all of the turmoil of our physical world, must keep our focus on the joy that is set before us, the glory that we can bring to God by enduring, and the privilege we will have of ultimately sitting with Christ in heaven. We must keep our focus on the things that cannot be seen in this world. We must keep our focus on the things of the inward man. And it will help to put in perspective all of the things of our physical world. Keep our focus on the ministry God has given us to do. Stay focused. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Help us to see the practical application of this in our daily lives. Keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our eyes on the prize for the high calling of God. Keep our eyes focused on the things of the Spirit in the inward man, so that the things of this physical world will not cause us distress, but every day keep us hopeful and rejoicing and giving you glory for it all. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.